Well, it's good to be back with you again, and let it be known that the Spirit lives in this place. I could not have orchestrated a cup being broken. I think that's a sign that the Spirit is here, and what a wonderful thing to celebrate and to be together tonight. So thank you for the continued invitation to be present with you. Please join me in a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, our Lord, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, last time I had the ushers had a little added responsibility, so they were quick to come up this week and ask. And there isn't anything out for this week, and I maybe should have sent a memo, but I decided not to send a memo. Because I'm hoping, actually, that you will help me with the message this week. Quick, close the doors. Don't let anybody out. Okay? You strike me as a community open to ideas, eager to learn, wanting to connect more deeply with God and with others. So keeping all those things in mind, I thought it was time to invite you to try something that might be new for you. I'm going to ask you to talk in church, and not just to talk in church, but to talk during the message. Have you done that before? Oh, we're going to have fun. It'll be okay. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to think back on your day, your week, your month, and try to recall an experience, either one you had directly or one that you heard about, that left you shaking your head and saying, this is not how it's supposed to be. Now, to help get your juices going, I'm going to share with you a time when that thought passed through my mind just this last week. I have a friend named Huldah, and she celebrated her 96th birthday last week. If you met her, you would think she's at least 20 years younger. She's very sharp, constantly looking for opportunities to learn or experience something new. She's not sure how much time she has left, she tells me, so she has to treat every day as if it's her last. And she loves life. She's got a great spirit. She's always very positive. I called her last week to wish her a happy birthday and was surprised to hear her say, "It's been the worst day of my life." Now, that's saying something when you're 96 years old. Turns out her doctor had ordered a blood transfusion, and Huldah didn't know why. She'd sat in a chair for 7 hours during the transfusion, never having things explained to her. When the transfusion was done, she asked about seeing the doctor, and she was told it wasn't possible. So she went home sore and stiff and full of questions. She hadn't been able to be with friends and loved ones on this precious gift of another birthday. And she was exhausted. That's just not how it's supposed to be, I thought. So now it's your turn. How about you? Can you think of a time when you thought to yourself, that's just not how it's supposed to be? I'm going to ask you to turn to another person or two. You can be groups of two or three, and to share your stories with each other. Don't be nervous. Let me remind you, this is a sanctuary. And the meaning of the word means it's a safe place. All right? So I ask you to share that. But I'm only going to give you a minute, so we can't have like super long stories. We don't want to be here after the sun has gone down. So I will be timing you, so make sure that everybody, groups of two or three, when was a time recently where you were shaking your head and you just said, that is not the way it's supposed to be? Okay? Go. You might have to move. You might have to turn around. Okay, about one more minute. All right, if I could have your attention. You may think that the hardest thing is to have people talking during the service, but it's actually the second hardest thing. The hardest thing is to get them to stop. Oh, it wasn't so bad, was it? Anybody willing to share with the whole group? Maybe we'll just take a couple of it. That's when you had that thought. That's just not how it's supposed to be. Were you raising your hand? No.
Uh-huh. The car wash didn't work. All it did was wet the car down, no brushes.
Oh, no.
And I said, the basic car wash, is that all I get?
So finally get to that list of things to do to get the car wash checked off your list, and it doesn't work. That's not just not how it's supposed to be. Anybody else? Got yelled at for not parking. We have a theme here. It makes me think of my son has a t-shirt that says, I am diagonally parked in a horizontal world. He's a little off, and I love it. I love it. We encounter that feeling all the time. That's just not the way it's supposed to be. And I asked you to participate in conversation about this because this sentiment acknowledges our awareness of a broken world. Maybe some of these things have been silly, but they still impact us, and we know life is not perfect. There are always things going on in the world that make us think that's not how it's supposed to be. Sometimes it's something close to home and relatively minor, like Hulda's situation. Sometimes it's on a much bigger scale. News about a diagnosis, an accident, getting laid off, racial tensions, acts of terror, or war. That's just not how it's supposed to be. Our world is broken, and so are we. This week, we're focusing on the broken cup, using it as a metaphor to help us reflect on the brokenness in our world and in our own hearts. When a cup is broken, maybe we should ask Jean. There are usually some sharp edges, right, with a broken cup. If the break is severe enough, it may not even be able to be used anymore. At worst, the cup gets thrown away or it sits on a shelf and collects dust. At best, it gets used for something else, like collecting coins or being a container for a potted plant. The psalm we read earlier, Psalm 51, might be one of the most well-known psalms for those of us who gather in church. It's a psalm assigned to Ash Wednesday worship every year. It was part of the service when we gathered just a few weeks ago for Ash Wednesday. Parts of it are included in weekly worship too. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Sound familiar? The psalm is attributed to King David, and while this heartfelt cry is his personal response to his own great sin, it is a universal song in each of our hearts. The psalm begins with an appeal to God's steadfast love and mercy, followed by a desperate plea for forgiveness. The psalm continues by emphasizing the urgency of the situation with a series of requests. Have mercy, blot out, wash, cleanse. This psalm reminds us that sometimes a simple apology isn't enough. Sin is a powerful force that pervades every life. It deafens you to good news and causes physical agony. Sin makes you feel very far from God's presence and rejected by all, including God, and maybe especially God. Consequences of sin can't always be remedied. Sometimes, no matter how hard we try, our hearts and the pain of sin can't be fixed. The magnitude of our sinfulness can only be addressed by something bigger: God's grace. Over and over again, the psalm expresses the absolute conviction that only God's action can deal with the sources and the consequences of sin. Psalm 51 is a great resource for us as we walk a spiritual path whenever we encounter the reality of sin. So it's time for our cup exercise tonight, and even though Tim was gracious enough to suggest that we pick our cups up and throw them on the ground, I'm going to choose a different exercise. Take your cup and hold your hand over the opening. This symbolizes our more typical pattern of trying to cover up our sins. Our attempts to cover up take on a variety of shapes. See if any of these sound familiar to you. Silent withdrawal, apathy, running away, talking incessantly, defending, challenging, constantly being busy, ignoring or pretending not to understand, being critical, making excuses. The problem with cover-up is that it keeps us from receiving the power of God's forgiveness and grace. Nothing in, nothing out. The theologian Barbara Brown Taylor writes that naming our sins enables us to move from guilt to grace. Take a moment now, and in the silence of your heart, name a brokenness that is part of your life. Focus your attention on your hand that covers that cup. Reflect on your resistance and refusals to name brokenness and to receive the forgiveness you need. Now I invite you to take your cup off of the hand and imagine God's love, forgiveness, and grace poured into your cup to the point of overfilling. For that is the reality in which you live. God has already poured himself out for you in the life and death of Jesus Christ. At the cross, we encounter the deep pain of sin, but that's not where Jesus' story ends. Thank God, God's promise is that our story doesn't end there either. For this is the confession that we make in faith: all things are possible for God. God, through Christ, is at work in you, making all things new. You may not be able to mend or fix that which is broken in the past or in your present, but you can find hope to begin again because of Jesus Christ. Joyce Rupp writes, "Today is a good day to remember that healing is a process, not a one-time event. May you patiently approach the process of inner healing with trust and confidence in the one who is the source of all healing and grace." Amen.